Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Moon, Moo, and You, the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving-Shank, and Joan Adams and I host this show. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Our guest this evening is Sheila Odette, otherwise known as Astrology's Astrologer. Did you know that a lunar eclipse is taking place on the solstice? Sheila will tell us about that and give us a rundown on Elizabeth Edwards' chart as well. Joining me now is Joan Adams. Hello, dear Joan.
Hello, Kate. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Always fun to talk to Sheila.
Yes, and here she is.
Good.
Hello, Sheila.
It is a very sexy voice. I mean, come on.
Yes, she does. The Lauren Bacall voice.
Well, maybe I could get my voice down there, too. I don't think I can do it, Joan.
Well, you haven't smoked as many cigarettes as I have.
Oh, is Marlene, you sound like Marlene Dietrich.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, yes.
I'd like to look like her.
Oh, come on. She did a lot of work to look like that, honey.
Oh, don't you know it. A lot of money, too.
Yes, a lot of money. Well, I thought I'd begin talking about Elizabeth Edwards because, I don't know, that's horrible, isn't it? I just filled up. Stop.
Aw.
Well,
you know, we campaigned for her husband, and and we met her. She was really... She was quite a very powerful woman, but you know, I can only say that when she passed just recently, she joined her son, whom she was very close with. So I mean, that makes me feel good about her death.
Well, the chart, you know, it's a very powerful chart because you know she has the sun in Cancer and. She has Uranus in Cancer, which is, you know, actually, when you have Uranus in Cancer with the God seed, which is in Cancer, and I call the God seed the sun sign. And, you know, you always say that to break open the seed, there has to be a lot of heartbreak. And we certainly can say that that happened to this woman. And there's an interesting thing. She has Neptune conjunct the moon, so... Actually, you know, when the child died and all, she stepped back, Neptune, Moon, and faded, you know, kind of into the background for him.
Mm-hmm.
And she has the Moon in Libra, which is meaning to balance out the relationship. She did a lot to balance out the relationship. I mean, I do believe that getting pregnant at 48, the stuff you have to deal with estrogen and hormones and, you know, all the stuff, and then having a girl and then getting pregnant again and then having another boy, I think that really kind of played havoc because she did have Uranus conjunct the sun in Cancer, so the Cancerian kind of environment likes to kind of go with the flow of the seasons, okay? It kind of likes a pattern, like you have babies here and then, you know, then you know what I mean. So that's kind of the Cancer kind of thing. And the grief, the grief was enormous for the first child. And I think with Uranus conjunct the sun, it just came on her at points that she couldn't even, you know. That's what Uranus does. You think you're over something or getting through it, and it just, Uranus just hits you and it just puts you on your knees.
Yeah.
So the fact that she went through that, and then she had the children, and then she went through his infidelity, which means, you know, when these people are going through this kind of stuff, they have to go through it in the public eye. So she's
yeah.
not only shamed in some way or with her friends, she's everywhere. Yet she
mm-hmm.
wrote two books. I mean, she came on television, and she just seemed to be one of those people that, you know, I go that, you know, you look at people like that, and those who've achieved the most in the world have achieved, you know, a fraction of what all of us are capable of, you know? So someone
well,
like...
Well, she was infinitely more popular than her husband at all times.
Right.
Because even, I mean, those of us who were campaigning for him, we were always saying, well, thank God he has Elizabeth because he's sort of a...
Double Gemini?
Is that what he is?
He's a double Gemini, yes.
Oh, that makes it tough, but anyway.
So she didn't have, I mean, she had another kid she was dealing with. Okay.
Yes.
I hate to really generalize, but if I saw Moon Jupiter in a chart with the Sun in Jupiter and Mars, the Moon Jupiter in Gemini and the Sun in Gemini and the Mars in Gemini, you know, being an astrologer, I would have to say I'd almost gamble on infidelity.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and he has everything on one side of the chart, and it was almost like, you know, it was almost like she was his mom.
Mm-hmm.
And
she's an old soul, and he seemed sort of weak in the way he handled himself.
Yeah. Well, the irony of it is that his moon has now just come over the ascendant is at 13 degrees of Cancer, and he's become a mother.
Wow.
Yes, he has. Yes,
I mean,
has.
It's astrologically kind of bananas there, you know?
Well, maybe it's time for him to grow up.
Well, yeah. I mean, and his moon is at 13 degrees of Cancer and Uranus and all of that, so he's like an instant mother. And he has
yeah.
all of this stuff in Cancer now. He's Venus in Cancer and the moon in Cancer, Uranus in Cancer and Mercury in Cancer. So all of that is really that he's going to have to become very mature and take over the mother role,
mm-hmm.
which yeah. probably in some way was the contracts. You know, the
sure,
contracts.
Sure, of course.
Yes, and right now his son is at 14 of Leo going into 15, so... You know, that's children. Leo does rule children, you know, children.
Mm-hmm.
And but he's the father to the other child too. So he's really got himself into.
And there's
kind
a new
of,
baby.
Huh? Yeah, the little baby. She's adorable.
Wait, sure.
Y'all, I'm lost here. How old are the children?
11, 10, and the older child is how old? I don't.
Well, she's out of college. I bet she's in her early 20s or so.
But she told her mother right before her mother passed that she was engaged. So,
oh, neat.
So that was a real gift. And then
the little baby's
about two, isn't she? Or two or three?
That would be the baby of the woman
yeah.
he
had an affair with.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's raising that child? Oh, no. No, no, okay.
No, the girl,
the
woman's raising that child, but I think he's I think he's in the mix there with that child.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. Anyway, when she passed, it was a Saturn Sun in Virgo here that Sun came right to her Saturn, and this whole thing in she was done. When you look at that in a progress chart, you know that the person is finished mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. In other words, she's done every single thing she had to do. And the sun has come through Cancer, went all the way through Leo, and it's been in Virgo for 10 years. So she has really fulfilled her contract. When I look at this kind of a passing chart, and then the moon by progression was in Capricorn at 20, but Pluto, Mercury, and the transiting moon was in Capricorn too, laying right on it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost, and then that, the moon at 12 degrees of Capricorn, you look across, and her sun is at 12 degrees of Cancer. So it was, it was a direct kind of passing. It was like an environment of angels around her when she passed.
Oh, I'm sure.
And
sure.
So it's really very, very interesting. Maybe she should have been the one that was running for political office.
Well, that's what we all thought, but she was ill, you know?
Yeah, she was ill, but...
she was ill for many, many years.
But that was ill in the human incarnation, but whole in the spiritual incarnation, okay?
She's actually running the country now.
Okay, so I just wanted to mention her because she was a very powerful woman. And, you know, I always look at these women that really, with her son progressed into Leo, that had to bear all of that on the public stage.
Yes.
Because, you know, a lot of people go through a lot of things that we don't see. We see more now because of Oprah and all, and Dr. Phil and all. But, you know, we see more of the stuff that goes on behind closed doors. And I think that those people were born to every single person that goes on Oprah or Dr. Phil or one of the shows that are representative of millions of people that are say, oh, my gosh, that's me. And they can somehow, it's like a mass therapy. And it's just, I think it's an enlightenment to the world that everybody is working on their emotional unconscious stuff, you know, raising, because the unconscious runs our lives. We think the conscious mind runs it, but the unconscious is really what is running things. The lunar eclipse on the 21st is a pretty powerful day. The eclipse happens at 3:13 a.m. The profound thing about that is there's 30 degrees in a sign, okay? And each, you know, you can be born at 7 degrees of Leo, or you can be born at, you know, 21 degrees of a sign. But, you know, when we come out to the 29 point, when somebody's born at 29, we call that void of course in astrological terms. It means that there is no other aspects that can aspect it because it's so far out all by itself. Now, the interesting thing about the eclipse is that the eclipse is at 29 of Sag, and the moon is at 29 of Gemini. So we're at 29 of the mutable signs here, which means by the time we get to, at 6:39 on Tuesday, by the time we get to the solstice, the sun will be at 0 degrees of Capricorn, and the moon will be at 0 degrees of Cancer. So within that time period, the sun and the moon are going to change signs.
Mm.
And when you look at this has to do with basically kind of the way things are happening. We're moving into a new territory. We're moving in, and a lunar eclipse means that the environment is changing. It is eclipsed. Like, it means the moon, for me as an astrologer, maybe not for everybody, but, you know, people say it represents the mother, and then I think it represents the mother, then it represents the family, and then it represents the community, and then it represents the country, and then it represents the world. So the moon for me represents all of that. So when you're looking at an eclipse here on a solstice, it's like the environment of the world is changing in a way things are, you know, Pluto in Capricorn is basically bringing stuff up to the surface. You know, everybody can complain about WikiLeaks and all this, but that's what's supposed to be happening.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, that is what is supposed to be happening, because if it doesn't come up...
It's coming up to the surface, yeah.
If it doesn't come up to the surface, it can't be dealt with. It's still in the unconscious of the world. So these papers coming out and all of this that's coming out and coming up, you know, are showing in some way how, I don't want to be judgmental, how unenlightened some of these conversations were behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you can't really ridicule a person, and, you know, it's not about policy. It's about basically, you know, calling them names and, you know, ridiculing them for things other than political things. So it's really it's the whole thing that Abraham talks about, it's outside the vortex. It's in contrast. It's in contrast. As long as all religion, all politics, all kinds of things like that are outside the vortex. So if we're beginning to come into the vortex, we're beginning to spin faster into enlightenment now. And that's basically what I want to say about this chart. Is that too heady?
No.
Well, it wouldn't be for you.
It's over my head.
I know that. I'm not Joan. Did you get me? Okay, I'm going to explain it like this. Let's say that we're moving into a new house. Okay, we're going to leave everything behind of the old stuff, and we're literally going to the other house burned down, okay? It burned to the ground, and everything was lost, and we're moving into a new house.
Oh,
that's
good.
How powerful it is.
Is it a good house?
Oh, I love you, Joan. Is it a good house? Well, you know what, Joan? It's a good house for you.
Is it better than the old house?
Well, I don't want to say, you know, every single process and every single generation and every single government, we process and we learn things. I mean, I think the boys in Washington are learning somewhere deeply that they have to start to get along. It's not about them.
Right.
Huh? Yes.
You know,
they better learn it.
Yeah, it's not about them, and it's not about, you know, getting the best, and it's not about getting power over. It's about getting power with.
Yeah.
I don't think our forefathers wanted that. I think our forefathers wanted, and the way they used the concept.
It's about service. They've forgotten that.
Yes. It's about service. And somehow that's just, where'd it go? I don't know.
Yeah.
But maybe it's going to come back. Maybe it will come back. Well, Joan, it's interesting that you say, is a new house going to be good? Because it's going to be good for you.
Because I'm still in that fall thing. I'm still waiting to see what miracles are coming.
Well, mm-hmm. Well, this eclipse.
Mighty's fall thing, really.
Yeah, well, your progressed moon is in Sagittarius, the 21 Sag. So this eclipse hits your environment. It means a new thing. You're going into a new thing. Something different is going to happen. Mercury's in Sag, Sun's in Sag in this eclipse, and your progressed Sun is in Gemini. So, you know, this eclipse is really something pretty great for you.
Oh, good.
It's almost like you're learning a new language. It's almost like you're learning you're moving. I mean, you should really put yourself in some ways into an uncomfortable place, into a risk place.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You know, Julie Taymor, who I greatly admire, who did The Lion King on Broadway, okay?
Oh, yes.
She's now doing Spider-Man, okay?
Oh.
And so it went into previews. And they did an interview with her, and she's one of my idols. I just think she's unbelievable. And she said, I don't do anything that's comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
She said, if everybody in the room says you can't do it, I stand up at the table and say, well, this is what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I'm not happy unless I'm risking. I'm not happy unless I'm totally uncomfortable. So naturally, you know, they showed on 60 Minutes, they're using the harnesses that they use at football games. mm-hmm. where they move the cameras over the fields. That's the way they're flying the actors over the audience.
Oh.
They have platforms that they land on right in front of you. Like if you're sitting in the first tier, they have a long platform, and all of a sudden one of the characters will land right in front of you.
Wow.
And she also, for The Lion King, she made, did you see The Lion King, Joan?
Oh, yes, cried all the way through it. Saw it twice. Love
it. The show.
Yes, the show.
We saw it.
I cried the whole time, and so did Kathy. See, Kathy, daughter
uh-huh.
Kathy,
uh-huh.
worked at Disney to open the, goodness, and I'm drawing a blank, but the jungle, that whole thing where the magic, where the tree is and the Lion King is and all that, Kathy was on that opening cast.
Yeah, she got her duckology diploma.
she got her doctorate degree.
Oh, doctorate. Yeah. Okay.
Her master's and her doctorate. Yeah, but, I mean, and between the two of us, I don't know who was in the worst shape when those characters came down the aisle. I just about lost it.
Yeah.
Amazing. The most, absolutely the most amazing show I have ever seen.
We were with a friend from Santa Fe who had never seen a Broadway show. That was his first Broadway show.
Oh.
He was like, he absolutely, we were there the night before it opened. And so the air was like electricity. I mean, everybody was in the audience. I mean, there were actors and, I mean, all kinds of people in the audience. It was like electricity because, you know, basically the actors knew what they had. They knew they were so ready to give this gift to the world.
Oh, yeah, they had to feel that.
Yes, it was just, they couldn't wait to get on the stage. They were like electrified. Didn't you think, Joanne?
Yes, and that's what the solar eclipse is doing.
Yeah.
It's electrifying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's, see. I didn't.
Hi, Joanne.
Hello.
Hi, Joanne.
Hi, Joan. I was listening to her talk, and I was thinking about your encountering astrology has been a really out of your comfort zone experience. The man, you have just risen to the challenge with such grace and beauty. I love it.
I just so easily say I have no clue what you're talking about.
Well, that is the only thing to say, and it's an honest one.
Well,
and it got a good answer out of her too. Explain it.
It did.
Yeah.
Well, I ask.
No, that's right.
Yes.
Well, you know, one of the things that, you know, the process is leading up to this is the 33 minors coming up too, because you know that is a whole other thing about the number 33, and the mainstream media, you know, they were all saying 33 this and 33 that, but they didn't really say the meaning of that. And
mm-hmm.
and the meaning of the number 33 is that it's a master number. It's you can't break it open. You can't break it down to a six. And I really didn't know that after 33 it stops. 44 and 55 or 66 and 77, that the definition of 33 is the highest master number. Did you know that, Kate?
Yeah, I knew it stopped there. What I liked about the minors is that it took 22 men to save 33.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Yeah, 33 people.
And Chile's supposed to be the new heart center. And so that was like broken open earth and men rising up out of the earth. So, you know, that was a quite profound kind of birthing, that whole Chilean thing of, you know, the energy rising up.
And bringing it up to the surface again, this lunar eclipse. Yeah.
It's interesting because that's the day my mom died.
That's right. And it was Kitty's birthday.
Yeah, and Kitty's birthday. So, wow.
Wow.
Miriam said hi to Kitty.
Yeah, it was really quite the day. I was at my brother's who had broken his hip, and we successfully cheered him up. We cheered him up, and that was fun.
And tell him it's enough of breaking stuff for me, will you, Kate?
Yeah,
it's time. He's learned everything he has to learn, okay?
That's why it's good to have a little bit of weight on, because if you fall, you don't break anything.
So I don't need to get rid of my cushion.
No, don't do that.
Good, okay. I like that. I'm keeping it for my health.
Yes.
That's right.
Call yourself fluffy.
Mm-hmm. I told my children, one of them, grandchildren asked me why I was so fat one time, and I told them it was so that I'd have a good lap.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, what do you mean? This is not fat. This is fluff.
Fluff. Pure fluff. I love
pure
it.
Fluff.
It's love fluff.
Love, love, yes.
And so, Kay, your progressive moon, of course, you know, is in Aries.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Jupiter, Jupiter conjunct Aries. So, you know, Jupiter conjunct Aries is like a new exploration.
Mm-hmm.
It's exploring something new. It's breaking ground in something new. It's Aries is the first to get there. Aries is, you know, it's that kind of thing. And the reason I say it's breaking ground is because your progressed sun is in Taurus.
Mm-hmm.
And Mars is conjunct the sun in Taurus. So it's something, you know, I hate to say this to you, but, you know, a driving, because when you get behind something, it's like a, you know, whoa. But it's still breaking ground with something new, breaking forth in some risk thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the Aries is, in relationship to what I said to Joan and what I said to you, Kate, is Aries is the beginning of something new. Leo is, I'm a Leo, it's like I'll direct the show. You know, I want to be the director of the show. I love to, you know, that's what I like to do in my career. But the Sagittarius says, let's take it on the road to all these cities. So it's interesting because I have a chef from New York that I work with. It's coming here to open a restaurant, Characters in Lancaster. She's buying a restaurant downtown with another chef from California. And a friend, well, a man here that works with restaurants and all, he's coming in, and she's progressed into Leo. And so she said she wants to run the restaurant and everything. And, of course, it was funny because I said to her, and he's going to say, let's open these all over the country. And she said she howled because it was the first thing he said.
Mm-hmm.
He said, this is only the beginning. So she said, I really had to laugh. And his progression is double Sagittarius, moon and sun. So they're getting him to invest in this restaurant and all. It's going to be, you know, really huge, really very.
Now, where is this restaurant?
It's Characters. It's down on Queen Street. It was off the street, but now they.
I'm not so sure she wants this advertised, does she? I guess it's.
Oh, well, who's listening?
Now on the air.
Well, it's on the air. Anyway, they're opening the front part of it, too. It's pretty clear, Joanne. It's pretty.
Okay. I'm happy with it. I think it's great.
It's pretty solid. You know, I wouldn't have said it 2 weeks ago, but now it's, you know. It's downtown.
Well, Joan, the show we were doing before this show, we could I could do a gift lens for them for their restaurant. Wouldn't that be fun?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
I think that's
sad.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll do it. But anyway, that's all very exciting, and I have no idea what it means for me, but we shall soon see. With
well,
the
it's really...
things that happen when moons change signs, let alone when suns change signs, Sheila.
Well, Kate, your moon has just changed signs. I mean, it's only been in Aries for 3 months, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's 2 years and a half that it stays in the same sign. But, you know, when it does, when you're in, that means the environment changes. It doesn't mean that the environment explodes and all of a sudden there's not the same environment.
Yeah, but you look at the environment. She the retreat center there at the Blue Heron thing, and she did the prayer thing.
Yeah, it just means magnetically that different people come into the environment, and you open up a different environment, and different people are attracted to that environment, and the magnetic field opens up to different cause and effect.
So, the solstice, the moon is going into now from what to what again?
Well, you mean in the eclipse?
In the eclipse, yes.
It's going from, the moon is going from Gemini to Cancer.
Yeah.
And the sun is going from Sagittarius.
Well, just discuss the implications of the moon going from Gemini to Cancer. I mean, that sounds to me like that's
Gemini.
Good.
okay, let's, you know, we were talking about John Edwards. He's a double Gemini with Jupiter in Gemini. The whole Gemini thing is like a high chess game. I mean, it is.
Well, they're game players, and it's either or, and it's.
And I found out that when in really researching Gemini, I like to research things in, like with horses or with people. And I found the profession to research Gemini in was tennis. Because tennis is, it looks like, you know, one of my godchild comes in and says, oh, you're watching advanced Pong. I go, no, not really. Because, you know, it looks simplistic in some ways, but there are so many things going on in the players' heads. There's so many things that have to be processed so quickly about where to hit the ball, whether to do a drop shot, whether to go do an overhead, how to serve. You know, it's just an immensely mental game. And
yeah.
There aren't any coaches on the side. They are, not that they don't talk from their box and stuff, but it still means they're out there alone. It's a very high kind of chess game. And when I did a research, I found out that, you know, like Steffi Graf is a double Gemini, and Serena has Mercury rules her chart, and her sister is a Gemini, and it just is all over the map. Jimmy Connors and all of them, there's so much Gemini over on all of these tennis players' charts.
You know, you think about it, you've got a square there. But you've got the air, because in a ball that you have to get the angles and know the square shape, which you think about in geometric terms, that's pretty interesting. I mean, you have to think about yourself and where you're standing and where you're going to hit the ball, where the ball. I mean, it's very complicated, and Geminis really know how to do that. So now we've been through that, and now we're going into Cancer, which does what?
We go into Cancer. See, Gemini is an air sign. It's a head sign. It's a mental sign.
Yeah.
Cancer is not. It's a heart sign.
It's
an emotional sign.
So all that stuff we were, yeah.
So we're going from
talk about that.
We're going from head to heart.
Yeah.
You know, we're going from mental thinking into emotional thinking, which is a lot different than So, you know, and we are moving into 2011 and 2012, you know, very powerful, powerful time by the Mayans. And, you know, it's that the heart center of the world is changing.
Well, let us hope.
Yes,
we're beginning to think with our heart and feel with our mind.
That's complicated, Joanne.
Well, that's what we're saying here, isn't it?
Yes.
The challenges that I think humankind faces, and I think we have an opportunity in this eclipse and with this thing happening like that. I mean, I think it's really monumental, this thing. Both these things happening on that day is incredible. That doesn't happen very often, does it?
No.
And
no, can I ask,
great.
I got to ask a stupid question. Tell me the day again. What day is this?
December 21st.
At 3:15 in the a.m.
It's 3:13 a.m. that the lunar eclipse happens, and then the solstice happens at 6:39 p.m.
Well, what I am very excited about is that I can go outside and watch the lunar eclipse.
Well, I don't know. Can you see it from here?
Sure. If it's at that time in the morning, that means we can see it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it depends on what part of the world.
Well, it does depend on. No, you're talking about the time that it occurs.
Uh-huh.
It's at that time, Eastern Standard, or what?
It's Eastern Standard Time now, Kate.
No, I'm saying it's not. It's actually standard time now.
Oh, yeah.
But that means that we can go outside at that time and see it here. If it were like at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we wouldn't be able to see it.
It will be visible from northern Europe just before sunrise. It will be visible after midnight, December 21st, in North and South America, then across the Pacific Ocean. Okay.
Well, I'm very
the
excited
end of the
because
totally
I could love... More than anything, I love lunar eclipses, and I'm just going to make sure I see it.
Okay.
Great.
Well, you can see it. And the end of the eclipse will be visible rising at sunset for Japan and northeastern Asia. That's where, you know. But, hey, you can see it, Kate.
Yeah.
Now, the moon rules the environment. The sun rules the God seed. It's a different thing. It means something when you burst something open or you achieve something. So the moon is the supporting bottom of the mountain, and the sun is really the top of the mountain. It's like if you look at a seed, how do you have to nurture it, you have to water, you have to love it for it to break open. That's what the sun sign is. So Sagittarius means we are in, Mercury's retrograde in Sagittarius right now till the 30th of December.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Mercury will be retrograde till the 30th. So over this whole holidays, Mercury's retrograde. So, you know, Mercury is a time, you know, I even have astrologer friends that go, oh, don't do that, Mercury's retrograde. Well, they act like the world should stop. I mean, every time Mercury goes retrograde. It's an internal process. This is a high holy season. So it's a perfect time for Mercury to go retrograde. People are loving each other. People are giving gifts. People are sharing with the world. People are opening their hearts. So with Mercury retrograde, it means, in Sag, it means it a big time. They're really expanding, you know, with Jupiter and Uranus in Pisces. It's like some big, huge thing is cracking open. But it's not just cracking open in America. It's cracking open all over the world because it's 29 degrees Sag. So it means it's a world thing. So then when it goes into Capricorn, then we are back into the whole thing of connecting it to our heart, you know, because Pluto is in Capricorn. And plutonically, Pluto brings everything up that you don't want to look at. And basically, Capricorn rules government. And so what is happening? All of this is coming up in government, all of the stuff. And then Mars in Capricorn is meaning that a lot of these guys are getting rageful. That's okay. Anger is a good vibration, okay? It's a better vibration than apathy.
Oh, I think anger is tremendous because people can express themselves better when they're angry sometimes.
Yeah, well, you know, apathy only vibrates at 50 in vibrational energy, but anger vibrates at 150. It means, you know, it's better to be angry than apathy and shame and guilt. It's better to get angry and even move toward revenge and move, you know, toward as you're moving in, but then to move into forgiveness and courage and acceptance and neutrality. But you can only do it through the process, you know?
Well, my friend Joel last week was getting angry when he was thinking about the senseless deaths of the young men who recently have been outed on the social networks for their homosexuality, but his anger helped him to articulate what it was he was feeling, and he is able to write a letter to the president of Rutgers University where the one suicide happened, where that young man, Tyler Clemente, jumped off the George Washington Bridge And once again, these people are showing the world how not to act. You know, it's even though it's tragic on a personal level, but what they have done to shock some sense into people's hate is a gift, a tremendous gift.
And you know, you just go these people that are. We're picketing Elizabeth Edwards' funeral, and I mean, you just go, oh, whoa. I mean, the souls that gave their lives so that this issue can be solved. We have to honor their contract and their soul, you know, that they brought to national, you know, awareness this issue. And we are so much further ahead on this issue that it really. Unbelievable. So
I wonder, don't ask, don't tell.
It just makes me laugh because don't ask, don't tell. If you're telling a child that, you're telling a child, you're teaching children to lie.
I totally agree.
I mean, it just does not make sense. And, you know, if somebody's willing to fight beside you and give their life, it's just the whole homophobia thing is they have the whole thing in their head wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going there because here we go.
I think that if you want to go there, I think that Julian Assange, I think his name is, the WikiLeaks man whose trial he got off on bail today, is a hero. The man is exposing something that people, free speech is important in this country. There's no reason in the world why people can't bring things up and out and have a rational adult perspective on it.
Hey, Joan, where are you on all that? Joan, speak.
I'm just totally gaga because I have no opinion. I have no opinion.
You're neutral. That's a high vibration.
I'm very neutral,
Joan,
at this point.
I like that.
I mean, neutral
is
250. That's a graded vibration, Joan.
I think I'm apathetic. Can you say something about that? Well, I go, it's kind of like,
well, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people have been mean forever. I don't know. I'm kind of nowhere with it.
Yeah, people have been mean forever. That's a good sentence.
What's interesting to me about this astrological thing that's going on too is that Gemini is the opposes Sagittarius.
Yes, that's why it's an eclipse, Joanne.
Yes,
lunar
I know that, but I know here it is moving. I know this, but just look at this. And the thing is just astounding because Gemini is signs. It seems to me searching for a transcendent, a way to bring transcendence into the world. That's how they're game playing. Is really a way to bring the either or that they see so clearly, try to bring it into a both and, into a consolidation. And here now it's moving, and we got this new house we're moving into, and we're bringing the heart, bringing it into the heart. We're bringing all that need to bring heaven home into the heart, and the sun is moving into Sagittarius, from Sagittarius into Capricorn, which is the father. And we got the father and the mother crossing there. I think we're in for a really interesting couple of years. I mean, it'll be 30 years, I guess, but the beginning of a truly, truly emergent, explosive kind of revelations, don't you think? Is this an accurate way to put that?
Mm-hmm.
I love the way you put it. It's great.
Well, I think it's exciting. I really do, because in particular, this conversation has helped me see that. I mean, it's you see, this is what we're also talking about. Is the highest point in the chart and the lowest point, the nadir and the apex.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the very bottom and the very top that are shifting from one side to the other, from immutability into a beginning.
But
the cardinal,
the ascendant, the midheaven, the nadir, and the opposition, they're all in fixed signs.
Yeah.
So
and
the Leo in the midheaven means that it's a new show. It's 15 degrees, which would be, and this is complicated, on the Uranian wheel, that's the Aries point. So the 15-degree point of the fixed signs on the Uranian wheel is the zero Aries point. It's a major thing in Uranian astrology. So even though it looks like it's fixed totally, it's a breaking open.
That's exactly. It's a breaking open, but humongous.
And the thing about this chart is that when the eclipse occurs, Saturn is in Libra. It's like a balancing thing in between. So, and I look at Saturn, it's made with a cross on the top and a half moon in the bottom. It's where we have, Saturn is where we repress things into the unconscious, where we push things down until they get so pressured that they pop up in addiction or some kind of acting out. So, but it's in Libra, and that means between these two points is a certain kind of balance that's coming up. It's balance, but you know, it's worldly balance. It's not just, it's personal, and of course everything has to happen personally before it happens worldly, but it's balance. And we, you know, we have to admit that we are no longer the main power in the world. I mean, we have to begin to tell our story a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting because in a personal level this week, I'm working on, if anybody wants to read a book. It's called A Course in Weight Loss by Marianne Williams.
Oh.
It's a profound, I mean, I went out to Borders to get the book, and so that we, it was so cute, we couldn't find it in the health section, and I thought, well, it's in the esoteric section. Well, no, it isn't. It's in the regular health section,
mm-hmm.
which is big, you know, because she's usually put off under the, you know, esoteric section. So, but it wasn't there. So then the girl came, and it wasn't on the front table, and then we went back, and it wasn't on the back table. So that she had to climb a ladder all the way up to the top of these books, way, way up, and she... So I figured my book came from heaven. this is a real
I'm surprised
line,
it didn't
you know?
Fall off the shelf.
And, but it's just profound reading. It really is. It's.
I'm going to have to get that one. Wow.
Yeah, it's Course in Miracles based, but it's just, and, you know, some of it is, you know, the fear is not about being heavy. The fear is about being thin. So, you know, you have to process and write letters. So I went, oh, gosh, here we go again. I'm not going to write another letter. I've written this. I've done, you know, ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, okay? And so, but I did it. Hey, folks, I did it. And you know
well,
what?
I'm not surprised you did it.
I did it. But you know what? I read it, and I went, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. A basic story that I've been telling forever is wrong. And
mm-hmm.
you know it's not.
Well, it did an eclipse. What it did is exactly what this thing's going to do to the world. I mean,
well, I always said when I got very thin that it caused me pain. You know that I always got myself in trouble. Don't tell anybody. But you know that was my mindset. But the fact was that in every time that I lost a huge amount of weight, I was in a breakup, or I was. When I walked out of my institute so the pain was before the losing
mm-hmm.
weight. So the pain was the catalyst of the losing of all the weight.
Yeah.
And I went, oh my God. You know what I mean?
Oh, the
yeah.
whole white thing is between our ears anyway. That's
yeah.
the biggest game. You know, it really is.
Well, that's the game we're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because to me, and my theory on my weight is that it's protection.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's
you'll
a cushion.
Love this book, Joan.
Huh?
You will love this book.
Oh, yeah, I love Marianne anyway. I know I will.
Yeah, you'll just love the book.
And the name of the, what is the name of the book?
The book is A Course in Weight Loss.
Of course.
You remember because she did A Course in Miracles, and this is
right.
Yeah,
and it's a green book. It's a green book. It looks like Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it's, you know, going through it, it's not an easy read, you know. It's, you're going, okay, Marianne, you know. But the dedication in the book is so beautiful. This book begins and ends as a communication between friends. Oprah Winfrey inspired this book, directed its course, and guided its vision. On a soul level, in many ways, a literary one, this book was a collaborative effort. Every page is a reflection of my affection for and gratitude to her. My hope is that it brings comfort to her as she has brought comfort to so many. To any reader who might feel that the book is a gift, please know that it was a gift from her also.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
That's neat.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She fascinates me.
If you're subconsciously convinced that being heavy is a safer zone, Joan, than being thin, then of course your primal urge to protect yourself will make sure you stay heavy.
Right.
You'll feel a subconscious need to sabotage the greater your greater good.
Right. I believe that's it. That's the core of it. I believe that.
I love this one letter in here. I mean, this one letter says, you know, this Beatrice wrote this letter, and she says, "Dear fat ass, I know your lumps and bumps are merely a navigational reminder of where you've been." It's so funny.
That's cute.
Yeah.
That is cute.
So, but it's a wonderful book, and my son has, and I was thinking about giving it to my son for Christmas, but it's a book for women, but I'm still doing it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so there was one more thing I wanted to say. In honor of my grandson, we have destroyed gingerbread houses for 5 years, okay? Me trying to build a gingerbread house is like writing a thesis, okay? Every time, you know, that the wall
get brownie
crumbles,
points, Evan, for trying.
Well, come on. Well, we
I've never tried. I wouldn't do that for anything, but go ahead.
Halloween houses have gone down, but the gingerbread lady has sent us all these to build. She sends us these kits. She sends us. And the gingerbread lady decided that I was a failure. So
she, that was because you told her so.
So she made a special day, December the 11th, for my grandson to come to her house, Gingerbread Land, to make a house.
Bless her.
Now,
this
I
woman,
want to tell you that I didn't realize that Anthony didn't believe the gingerbread lady was real. He thought all these times I said things were coming from the gingerbread lady that she was like Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
That there was no gingerbread lady for real, that I was making that up just like, you know. So we pull up
this gingerbread lady has been doing this now for the last 100 years. I mean, she's
ageless.
Well,
if you say that to a child, they're really going to believe that they don't exist, okay, Kate? So we walk up to the house, okay? She opens the door in her gingerbread costume.
Oh.
Anthony almost fainted. He almost fainted. He could not speak. And I want to tell you, for my grandson not to be able to speak, it's big. He went, blah, blah, blah. And we took a little four-year-old along, and this little four-year-old was afraid to go in the house at first. And then we went in the house, and then, of course, you go down these stairs, and you open this room, and it's gingerbread houses everywhere.
Oh,
I mean, all kinds
of,
and it must be 1,000 kinds of candy. I mean, it's like, you know, walking into the North Pole. And then we did this house. Now, every line that he said was, see, the walls are not falling down like yours. See, the candy's staying on. I said, please, TMI, Anthony, what's that? I said, too much information. And then I went to touch it. He said, gingerbread lady, you better not let her touch that. So, oh, my God. But I just thought
I love it.
It was very funny, you know.
I love it.
So, the gingerbread house.
This woman, whose name is Patty Hudson.
Yes.
The gingerbread woman. I cannot believe her dedication to this. It's like a strange phenomenon, and I'm amazed that she hasn't become like Mr. Rogers or something. She reminds me of Mr. Rogers.
Female
version.
Yes.
No, she's a true lover. She really
and
is.
And hundreds of letters on the walls and hundreds of children's pictures and children that have cancer and children that have,
It's a ministry.
It's a ministry.
It is a ministry. My gosh.
Yeah.
We should have her on the radio show.
Yes, she's a Sabian, and, you know, that's a whole other story. She's a Sabian.
Does she have a webpage? I bet she's not internet.
Yes, she does.
Yeah,
she's a gingerbread lady. Yes, she does. There's a webpage. Yeah.
Okay.
That is another gift, Lynn.
Yes, it is.
Oh, a very exciting one. And she has
really
video
fun.
Out, and she has a gingerbread book out.
You wrote a story for it.
I wrote a story, and she has an entire video that we did. She just...
My mother just loved the gingerbread lady, and she would talk about her all the time. It was so strange.
Well,
but not really. She's an amazing lady.
And I said to her,
magical.
Well, the whole thing was magical. I mean, it was a very magical trip. And then we took this four-year-old, and he didn't make a house. He made gingerbread men and decorated them.
Mm-hmm.
So then we brought it home. It's now in the living room. Anthony's not taking it to his house because he's afraid the dog will eat it. So I have it in the living room. And
he's probably right.
Yeah, he comes up and he looks at me and he goes, now look at that. That's perfect. And I went, oh, and he put his name on the side. He wrote his name in icing, Anthony, on the side of the house on the roof. So it's
how old is he?
He's nine.
Nine.
We've been doing this for a while, though.
Well, the thing is that the normal kit does not have really sound materials with which to work, you know.
The icing, she has really cement icing. I mean, her icing.
Well, it's royal icing. It's the high quality icing that the professionals use.
Yes. Now, it's not the gingerbread lady because it's not coming up. What did you say, Joanne?
I thought it was a gingerbread. I thought that was a gingerbread house, isn't it?
Well, Kate, we'll get it for
we'll
you.
We'll get it for you, yeah. I thought it was gingerbread lady.
Could it just be gingerbread lady and not the gingerbread lady? Let me try that one.
Could try that, yeah.
Do you believe that Kate is looking this up during our radio program?
Yes, I do believe this. She can talk about it, yeah.
Her Aries is moving, isn't it?
Well,
yes.
What's also interesting, just briefly to return to the thing, Gemini is the ruler of Mercury is the ruler of Gemini,
mm-hmm.
and that's involved in this retrograde thing is involved in that. I tell you, the whole, we're going to build a new gingerbread house. We really are.
uh-huh.
Oh, was there.
We know how that tale went.
Well, but the fact that it's a Cancer, Capricorn, mother and father progression, and I think it's, I'm excited about this, and I was just sort of excited about the idea, but now I can really understand it or feel it a little bit more clearly. My God, that's incredible.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel it.
Okay. Well, another thing I want to say on the radio is that these ladies, that Women and Babies, they did their dance number. And
they did the Thriller.
And they did the Thriller,
and
they
amazing
were
video.
Fabulous.
I loved it.
So I want to acknowledge them all in the radio program that I was so proud. I cried.
Thank
you.
Did you?
Well,
did you see this, Joan? Did you see this?
I saw the video. I loved the video.
Weren't they good?
Oh, yes. Joan, they did a super job.
I thought they were wonderful.
I loved it. Loved it. I want to do it myself now.
Joan, you have to retitle it, and you have to help me find
it. I know.
Bags.
It needs to be marketed.
Yeah, it's a great
video.
We've
got to work on that.
Yes,
but another thing I want to mention here on the radio show is that Ulysses the dog's tumor is almost gone.
Of course. Good.
Yes.
Of course. Right.
Great.
I always knew he was a stubborn dog, and his stubbornness has been a shining miracle for him.
I wonder where he got that.
He's a dedicated dog. He's really an old soul who's working on healing at high levels.
Well,
he is.
I found a card that says perfection lives only in the imagination. And what I want to say about this is maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's coming to earth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just coming to earth.
Mm-hmm.
Healing happens. You know, healing happens in ways that we cannot imagine, and we don't believe that it can happen, and therefore for the next every day until the 6th of January, we're going to dedicate the prayer blog every day to a miracle, a Christmas miracle. So you're all invited to contribute this to it and tell us what your Christmas miracle is, and because miracles abound and they're everywhere, and especially this time of year, as you were saying earlier, it's just this is the time of year for, it doesn't matter if Mercury is retrograde because people are communicating in different ways other than by words. It's the heart.
Oh, yeah,
the
best thing, yes. Yeah.
So it's all a miracle. It's all good.
Well, I asked for a totem and I found a turtle under my bed.
Oh, did you?
Not a real turtle.
Oh, a pretty
stone. She thought it was a real turtle.
I did.
It was a turtle that I know that this little beautiful turtle, it's made out of plastic, but I know that it was never taken upstairs. And I was saying, I was doing all this meditation, and I was saying, and I want my totem. And I reached my hand down to the floor and picked up a turtle.
Wow.
Talk about a miracle.
Yes.
I said, don't bite me.
Now we got to check with Beth. Do you know what it means?
It means, it's very high feng shui. It means a portal between heaven and earth. The top of the turtle is heaven, and the bottom is earth. And so, and they live, you know, it's also the gateway, the ocean, and the beach. It's a gateway. So it's very profound, and the whole I Ching is on the back of the turtle. So I couldn't have asked for a better totem. Right, Joanne?
Right.
Well, we've come to the end of the show. Wow.
How'd we do that? Must be a miracle.
It is indeed.
It is.
Always
enjoyed
fun.
Every minute.
Always fun.
All right, girls. And your brother's going to be on next week. Rather, Scrooge is going to be on next week.
Yep. The Christmas
very
Carol
exciting.
Next week.
Yes,
yeah,
everybody
on the solstice.
Listen to that.
On
huh?
the solstice, for heaven's sake.
Wow, it sure is.
Yes.
Wow.
Be great.
Okay.
Right. Heavy stuff.
Heavy.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Bye.
Merry
Goodbye.
Christmas.